The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought up Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. At Candlemas, at the Feast of the Presentation, the Christmas season closes. And I want to start this morning by us looking back to Christmas and thinking forward to today as we remember in this service, in particular, presentation of Jesus in the temple by his parents, where they came to make, as you heard, the sacrifice required by them, and in fact required by them as poorer people in Leviticus chapter 12. And I want us to think about how remembering the events and the stories we have retold between Christmas Day and today speaks powerfully of the ways in which Jesus is someone bringing hope and friendship to every kind of situation and to every kind of person. So on Christmas Day in particular, we remember Jesus is born and laid in a manger with just his parents to care for him, maybe with a little help from the innkeeper's wife. But this reminds us that God is with us from our very beginning, in our infancy, and in all the ways in which we are dependent on others. Babies are fundamentally dependent on those who care for them. This reminds us that God is with us in our dependency. God in Christ has experienced that dependence and need and vulnerability that we all experience. Shepherds come to the manger to see what has happened in the birth of Jesus, and they are welcomed in by Joseph and Mary. The shepherds, of course, will have been living rough up in the hills, looking after their sheep, sleeping across the openings in their sheepfolds to protect their animals from predators. The shepherds remind us that God is with us in our hard work, whatever kind of hard work we do. They would have been very hard-working people. and God is with us in whatever kind of life we lead. The presence of God among us was revealed first of all to shepherds, not to kings or to wise men or to priests or to lawmakers, but to shepherds. Of course, the wise men do then come from far off in the east. They come with their wisdom and with their curiosity, offering what they can with their opportunity and, I suppose, with their wealth. They remind us God is with us in our wisdom and in our curiosity too, and God is with us when we give what we can. When Jesus is baptized, he realizes in a new way what he is for. With a new force, he senses his purpose in life. We are told very clearly that God was with Jesus in this moment, affirming him, speaking to him or of him. We are told in this that God is with us too, in our moments of understanding and realization and recognition when we come to an improved sense of what we are for. We remember John the Baptist, of course, and the way he made way for Jesus. He saw that it was Jesus' time now to take the central role and to lead the renewal of faith and understanding that both men wanted. God is with us too when we realize it is someone else's turn, when we make way for others, as John made way for Jesus. And over the last couple of weeks in our readings, we've been remembering how Jesus calls his disciples. He calls Simon Peter and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee to follow him and to new work fishing for people. God is with us when we are called to new work. And so today, at the presentation, Jesus is brought into the temple by his parents, and Simeon and Anna greet him with recognition and with joy. God is with them too, with Simeon and Anna. And we are reminded that God is with us in our aging and our frailty and perhaps new dependency as we get older, as he was with us in our infancy. The ways in which we realize in this season how God is with us can be played out on the grand scale, in the important decisions we make at the turning points of our lives, over the course of our lives. But all of them also can be played out in a very everyday kind of way. Yes, we are vulnerable as infants, and we may become frail in old age. But vulnerability and frailty can be everyday experiences too. We can always find ourselves at some point in time, any day, feeling vulnerable or frail. Yes, we can be called to specific vocations or jobs or ways of life. But we can also be called on in a particular way just in the course of our daily lives. Yes, we might need to realize it's someone else's turn when we've worked for years to labor for something, to build something up, to run something. But we can also just need to make way for someone else in a conversation too. Yes, we need to realize what we are for to make sense of our lives. But knowing why we are in any particular place at any particular time is part of that making sense, but just on the scale of the moment. We might become wise and knowledgeable, and God is with us in that. But the wisdom of now and the insight of the minute is God with us too. And as we encounter people with very different ways of life from our own, or people with similar ways of life to our own, some of them living in the open, like the shepherds did, we should remember that God is with every one of us in our own distinctive way of life. So we realize this whole season, from Christmas to the presentation, how Jesus is Christ for people of every kind of background and opportunity, and how Jesus is Christ for our whole lives and for every part of our lives. But I think this day's feast, the presentation of Christ in the temple, somehow emphasizes these points with particular force, and also emphasizes with particular force the presence of Jesus with us, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever time it is for us. Simeon and Anna meet Jesus in the temple. Their response, as you heard, was not exactly low-key. Simeon takes the infant Jesus from his parents and cries out, "Lord, how you are dismissing your servant in peace, I've seen the glory of all peoples." Anna starts going around, pointing out the child and speaking of him as the one who will redeem Jerusalem, who will bring salvation and freedom from the Roman occupation, who will renew the commitment of the people of Israel to be God's people. Who else would have been in the temple that day to see Simeon and Anna greet Jesus and his parents in that way? It would have been very busy, I think, full of people of different kinds. Joseph and Mary were among the poorer people there. But there would have been plenty wealthier types sacrificing a whole lamb instead of their two small birds. There would presumably have been some shepherds there, perhaps having driven their sheep into the city. There would certainly have been wise men, like the ones Jesus is reputed to have taught in the temple on his visit there when he was 12 years old. And there would certainly have been foreigners of many kinds, Ethiopians, Greeks, Libyans. We hear of them in our Bibles, how they journeyed to worship in Jerusalem. Would there have been tax collectors? Of course, I think there would have been, standing far off, with their heads bowed, unable for shame to look up as they pray. Would there have been prostitutes? Well, if Jesus drew such people into his group of disciples, as we know he did, then I think they would have been standing at the back with the tax collectors, like them, looking for the forgiveness and the encouragement they both later found in Jesus. And I think there would have been some eunuchs too, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 that Philip meets on his road back from Jerusalem. But I think some other kinds of eunuchs too. There's an extraordinary passage in Matthew chapter 19 which doesn't get used in our lectionary for Sundays or feast days at all. Jesus says to his disciples as he is teaching them, "For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let anyone accept this who can." Some translations in that passage use the phrase, "those incapable of marriage," instead of that word, eunuch. But eunuch is what it says. And there's much discussion about what is actually meant here. But however we are to understand Jesus' words, he is demonstrating a recognition and an understanding and a respect for people who lead a different way of life to most, specifically in this case, with respect to their sexuality and their gender. And he is demonstrating an understanding at the same time that there are different ways in which this might be realized or understood or embraced or responded to. People who join religious orders today perhaps are among this kind of group for us. But there are others, and Jesus shows no judgment, no legalistic wrangling about their status. He accepts them with the loving vision he preaches of dignified human relationships. Like the church today, the temple into which Jesus was brought by his parents would have been filled with all sorts of people. Some of them are people that the religious authorities would have been judgmental about. I wonder what all those people in the temple thought of the way in which Simeon and Anna were behaving around Jesus and his parents. The Pharisees and the priests and the Levites would, I think, probably have sniffed and tutted. It wouldn't have seemed appropriate to them for this kind of way to behave, to go on. But the tax collectors and the sinners, the prostitutes, the eunuchs, the shepherds and the foreigners, I think they'd have joined in. Amen.